Our Father, we come to you again this morning. We thank you so much for the songs that have been sung, songs that are sung, Father, and written from someone's heart who's had experience with thee through the cross of Jesus Christ. We thank you for that today. And Lord, when we sing these songs, it brings joy to our heart. Help set the table for our day. And I pray this morning that every heart here came seeking to worship you, came seeking to receive from you in grace and knowledge that only God can give, that when we go back into this world, Lord, it'll be that which would make us effective for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to speak to you this morning on the temple of God. And the reason I'm giving the message to start, the title of the message to start with, because there's 3 points, and even though it's the temple of God, these other 2 points has to do with something we have to do as being part of the temple, or being the temple of God. Look with me, if you will, in, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Paul said, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? In other words, if I may say it in kind of a Johnson County language, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost that's in you? And then he says, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Don't you know your body, or what? Know ye not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Notice where he's at now. In you. Then notice he says, which we have of God, and ye are not your own. Folks, that's a mouthful. That's a tremendous truth. If you're born again this morning, if you've been saved, then your body is the temple of Almighty God. It's important to get that register in your heart and mind before we get into the book of the message. Then he tells us why this is true in verse 20. If you don't know that, you need to know before you leave here. It's the command of God. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost. And, of course, also you'll see the temple of the living God, since the Holy Ghost is God living in us in the third part of the Trinity. He said, verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. This is why that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Ye are bought with a price. Therefore, because of this, because you have been bought with a price, because you have been bought, say it with me, because I have been bought with a price, say it again, because I have been bought with a price. One more time, because I have been bought with a price. Look at me just a minute. Look at me just a minute. If you're born again, if you've been saved, you have been bought with a price. Now, he's talking to you and I who have been born. He's not talking to the world here. They need to listen to the gospel to be saved. But he's talking about you and I. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, because you've been bought with a price, glorify God in your mind. What about it? He says, listen, when the world sees, I can glorify God in my mind, and that should be to do that, but you never see it. I can glorify God, and you never see me say a thing. But it won't do you no good. Do you see what I'm talking about? At night, when I'm praying, I can glorify God. No one know it except me. I can do it mentally. No one see it but me. But he says, for because what has happened, you ought to be doing that, and if it doesn't come from the thought to do it, you won't do it. He said that your body, glorify God, in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Ladies and gentlemen, this is it. This is very important to understand. Look, turn back over to Romans chapter 3 and look at a couple verses. Verse 16, 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? You say, wait a minute, the Holy Spirit, they're both God. See, the Holy Spirit lives in us, representing all that God is because He is God. And he represents the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us everything we need to know about Christ. Bear witness in our heart who he is and all those things that he came for according to the Gospel of John. But he says, now know you not that you're temple of, that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Sometimes you don't think he does it? Sometimes we act like he doesn't. But listen, once he ever comes in, he never leaves. If you ever get born again, he'll never leave. Now, that means then if he is not been blessed and exalted and glorified, which his job is to exalt Jesus Christ, then you can grieve him. I'm telling you, this is serious business, the Christian walk. The average person you see on the street today say they're a Christian, don't even know what a Christian is. Just watch them. Because they're more selfish with egotism than it is to obey God. Now listen, he says this, simply look again, if you look in verse 17, if any man defile the temple of God, and what a warning, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And he's talking about the flesh here. And ladies and gentlemen, what God has said, if you, since you're saved, are not let me be what I need to be in the temple which I have chosen as your body, you don't have no need to keep any ground. There's no need for the body to be here. But wait a minute, preacher, no. If you understand God's plan and program always overrides ours, should do that. And so it's interesting. Look in 2 Corinthians with me now, in chapter 3. And I'm going to hurry as quick as I can to get you out of here before lunch. Look in chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. Now, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, you are the temple. What, don't you know you're the temple of God? You're the Holy Spirit lives in you. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Then Paul says the second letter writes to Corinth in verse chapter 3, verse 2. Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. What you learn, what you do, is an epistle for someone in this world to read that don't ever read this Bible. Don't ever read or never hear anything about God. Notice he said in verse 3, for as much as ye are earnest, ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. If you look over in chapter 6, you see again in verse 16 and 17, he says simply, and what agreement with the temple of God without us then? You are the temple of God. You are an epistle of Christ. Now he said, listen, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols then? What agreement has the temple of God with things of this world that takes one from God? For ye are the temple, watch this, of the living God. There's a difference, you know. Living God. And then he says, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out. Interesting. Now, because of this verse, because of who you are, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separated, saith the Lord. Not Mahama, not some religious leader, not even Abraham, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And of course, the last verse you know in Matthew chapter 28, when Jesus said, go therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all the things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am with you always unto the end of the world. Amen. The temple of God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I thought back in my childhood, and I don't remember as a boy I ever saw my mother and dad reading the Bible that I can recall. They may have when I was growing up. They saw fit for us to be in church. My dad did. Saw fit for us to be in church. But he didn't go that much. Thank God he got saved about in his 60s and lived to be 80-something year old. And he went as often as he could get there. But when we came along and God has saved our soul, my wife and I, Barbara and I have tried to teach our children that this book, God's inspired, preserved Word of God, was important in our lives. Not only the fact that we told them, they saw us read it. They read it around the table many times as we had family altar. They understood what we felt about this book. They knew that this book and God's house were something special to their parents. Very special. They knew that they saw this in their lives. They knew that God's floors should be kept clean in church. They knew. I'm telling you some things that maybe you didn't realize, but they knew that God's book, song books, should not be written in. They knew that this, no matter how you looked at it, when it came to the church, I don't care if we're in a dry clinging building with old seats that won't even stand up hardly, or where you're in a building like this, so nice. They knew God's house was a special place. And it is. But I'm leading to a point now. I tried to teach them that the call of God on one's life is something very special. And it is. for me. Walking around these buildings is something special to me. Driving by these buildings is something special to me. When I drive up many times in the front of this building, I thank God for the blessings to me to allow me to not only have organized, but to pastor this church almost 41 years. When I drive by these buildings, they mean something special to me. When I think about the work that's been done here down through the years, this floor, for instance, everybody can't hardly believe, this floor was 10 foot higher than it is right now when we built this building. Brother Johnson remembers. It's been out here. In fact, one place when they're digging it down, I couldn't even reach the ground where we was at when we dug down. It's hard to believe that. And if we'd have put it on the ground, well, I'd been 10 foot higher, and so would you. What I'm saying is that this floor was 10 foot higher. I know that one does not have to attend church to get saved. But I believe it all in my heart, when one attends this church, they will know how to get saved. And that's what this building is about. That's what these buildings are about when it comes to the life that we're living right now. This building does not save anyone. In these buildings around here, with these 18, 19 acres of land, and all the buildings we've got built, they will not save one person. But I want you to see, many will have attended this church through the 41 years of being here, and still walk out and go to hell while we weep for them, not understanding why we have tears for them, not understanding what we're here for, just to have a place to meet, to be religiously and say we went to church. Absolutely not. If that's all it is, we could do anything. There's something about this that's more than just that. I'll tell you this. Many will attend this church, and I've said before, and just right then, and we're weak because they don't trust Christ as Savior. But I don't believe that we try to teach anything else here other than the Word of God. We will tell you how to get to heaven when you come through these doors. I think every teacher in this church, every individual in this church who's handling the Word of God, and most members can tell you how to be saved because they've been taught that over and over again. We all should take our job seriously about what we're here for when we gather like this together. And if we don't, then we may be in the wrong position. God tells us three things for us to be in His Word after we trust Christ as Savior. The first thing we looked at in Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. He says we are to be epistles, to be a Bible to all people. As God writes in our heart His Word, and we go into this world. Secondly, He says we are to be proclaimers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Matthew 28. And third, He says we are temples of God, 1 Corinthians 3:16 to 17, chapter 16, verse 19. And He says that saved people's bodies are the temple of Almighty God. Now, in understanding what the house is, it's called the house of God. But the house of God can't tell this world anything other than just be an example where God's temples meet. See, if you're saved, you are the temple of God. And we have to understand that. So therefore, I ask the Lord to help me see myself as a child of God, revealing to this world, no matter where I'm at, who I am, and what we're to be doing. First of all, let's look at be an epistle of Christ in 2 Corinthians. Chapter 3 and verse 2 and 3. To be an epistle means simply to be an instructed letter, not written with ink, but written in the flesh of our heart as the Word of God is read and studied and recesses and is find ourselves taking in what God has to say. Now, ladies and gentlemen, most people in this town, most people in this county, most people in this part of the state will never walk inside these doors of this Fellowship Baptist Church. Most will not. But I'll tell you this. That means then someone has to take the Bible outside these walls. If God has gave us the commission, and He has, not just to the disciples, someone has to take the Bible outside of these walls. That means when we go to our jobs or pray over our meals or dress right, act right, talk right, be decent, be upright, be honest, and pay our debts are important. that we manifest the true and living God. Because this is His temple. This is His temple as He looks at us. We are the only Bible that many will ever read. Ladies and gentlemen, where you work at, you will be. It is the only Bible as an epistle that some people will ever read. And they watch you like a hawk. Every minute they watch you. They watch me and all of us together. They love to find some way that they might be able to discredit us in some way. But if you'd be honest, and I worked on this message, you'd be honest, we are not too good of Bibles at times, are we? We're just not. We get caught in the flesh. We have a frown more so than the world does. When we want to be happy, we look out with the saddest people in the world. And the world looks at and says, man, if I'm going to get something, I'm going to get something out of that. I'm sad enough. Because we let burdens cast us down and refuse to listen a lot of times what God wants us to hear when the Word of God is proclaimed. You can preach a better message with your life than you can with your lips. Because people watch that. We are the epistles for those who never read God's Word. God's law cannot give us power to obey. God's law itself cannot save. The ministry of grace changes the heart, for by grace are you saved. And then we have the power to literally obey God Almighty. The Holy Spirit writes God's Word, God's truth in the believer's heart. And here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. This is where we mess up. God's Spirit writes His Word on our heart. And then we begin to manifest that to a world. And the first thing we do is run into a wall, because the world and society don't want what we've got. I mean, every way you turn, they look at you as being condemning, as negative. Every way they, because, listen, believe me, about everything this world offers, certainly I know everything that's evil in this world, God's against. So what happens is this. We have the we get results, but our results are not seen now. The world can intimidate us. The world can stop us. The world can make us feel bad. And suddenly we feel like because of that, the results are just too bad for me to continue on or for me to do whatever God has called me to do. And here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. Here the results are left up to our Lord, though, not the world. You can't go soul winning without the world condemning you for it's over with. You can't bow your head and pray every time where you eat at without someone snickering at you for it's over with. Because the world cares nothing about that. Even the richest world does not. So what I'm saying to you and I is that the results of our lives are left up to the Lord. It's not left up to society. Society will never reward you and I for doing what God wants us to do. So that means I'm going to have to wait until I get to heaven one day for many rewards to be received. Even though now there are rewards that cannot be seen physically at times, but there's rewards internally that God gives us that the world knows nothing about. That peace that God gives us when we're in the valley of in the very valley of storms. I'm talking about this body being the temple of God and what God is doing to for us and for us. So as the temple of God, as we serve God in this life, we will not find ourselves being rewarded much by the world. But God says He's faithful. He will one day. When we rebel against God's instruction, it is a sign that something else is wrong. I don't care if it's an individual or if it's a society or a community, whether in the individual or society. So the first thing He said, be an epistle. Be an instructed letter in term where you manifest yourself when you go into this world, that they may see this epistle written in your heart and manifest in your flesh. Not of ink on paper, but in your heart. The second thing I want you to know, He said, be a proclaimer in Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. And of course, also 2 Timothy 4, He talks about preach the Word of God. Here, we are to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every one of us have that command to do just that. I read where a preacher was holding a revival at a place, and a family asked him to eat with them one day, and right before, I don't know, so in the afternoon, and he said, I'd be glad to visit you. He said, but I don't eat before I preach. And said, we'll visit by. We'll have something anyhow. And he got sat down, and he kind of felt bad. But he said, no, I really find out if I eat before I preach, I just have a hard time with that, and I can't do as good as I do otherwise. But he said, I'd be glad to eat something after he's like. Said, okay. Well, the husband didn't go to church with his wife that night, but his wife went to church. And she came home that after the service, and her husband said to her, said, "Hey, so let me ask you." He said, "How was the message at the church tonight?" She said, "Well, the preacher had been just as well off to went ahead and eat." Well, I hope this morning that we understand getting the gospel out is all times. We must do that all time. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus was friendly. He was sympathetic. He was understanding. He didn't walk up to the woman in the well in John chapter 4 and say to start with, "Look here, you wicked harlot, you need me as your Savior." No. He ended up with a dialogue with her and talking about things she was familiar with and talking about water and then living water. And he went on later and revealed to her as he talked to her about himself and the Samaritans and Jews and how they got along with each other and did not get along with each other and so forth. And he later told that she was a lady who had five husbands, now living with a man who was not her husband. And I believe he won her to the Lord because of her testimony later. You see, this commandment was not given merely to the apostles. It's given to the rank and file of the church. So not only are we to be epistles, but we're to be proclaimers. And by the way, we can't be proclaimers unless we're epistles. Because what they see in us would do more for us to hear than just hearing us speak. Then the third thing, I want to talk about the temple. We are the temple of God, or temples of God. 1 Corinthians 3 again, "Know you not that you are the temple of God?" Chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, he said, "You're the temple of the Holy Spirit." Chapter 6 and verse 16, he says, "We are the temple of the living God." Please hear me. Please hear me. I thank God for these buildings. Now, this is much better than the dry cleaning building with no air conditioning, seats that fall down all the time, the restroom set beside the pulpit. This is a lot better than that. But I thank God for these buildings. Hear me closely. People have sacrificed through the years. Some are going to glory now. Because these buildings you see before you get here, before the daycare, all built by people in the church. Ever spent hours at night and day, weeks at a time. And I thank God for these buildings. It took a lot of sacrifice. But I want to say to you, I love the people more than I love the buildings. Because it's the buildings that matter. I mean, it's the people that matter, not the buildings. The world thinks the building matters. And got me saying it almost, but the people, that's what really matters. Hear me, ladies and gentlemen. This building is the place where God's temples meet. When you and I leave, God's omnipresent, He's here. But I'll tell you, this building will never say one thing to this world other than that as an example of being here where God's people meet. And we know where God's temples meeting together in this particular building. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. That means the day you trusted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit moved in to take residence in your body, and He will be there until God gets you home in a glorified body, just as sure as I'm standing here before you this morning. I think, boy, I never dreamed years ago we'd have chandeliers in a church. I never. We always had one. We had just a little light. And I remember we didn't have any lights years ago when I was a boy. What I'm saying to you, listen to me, I love these chandeliers. But out of the faces of those who got saved more. It's important, believe me. It's important. Whether you believe that or not, it's important to me. You've got to understand what this church is about. If not, then you will never understand why God set the church up to start with. And I think most of you do. But I want you to understand that I think about the carpet here. And I love the carpet, but I love walking with God more. I love red because it's a sign of the blood. This building is only a tool. That's all. We come into worship. Thank God that I'd rather have air conditioning than the old funeral fan. The atmosphere is much better. Ladies and gentlemen, then why is it that we have such sad faces? I could see if we had no air conditioning, had no lights, sitting on a pine tree cut in half and made as a pew. But look where we're at, how we can worship God today. What an amazing thing that we can worship God in such atmosphere as this. But I say to you, it's only a tool. What kind of tool, preacher? I mean a tool. It's like a brush to a painter, or a hammer to a carpenter, or a stethoscope to a doctor, or a trowel to a mason, or a needle to a seamstress, or a gun to a soldier, or a book to a teacher, or a pen to a writer, or a hoe to a gardener, or a plow to a farmer, or a plane to a pilot, a hose to a fireman, or a scalpel to a surgeon. It's just a tool to do what God wants us to do collectively in reaching our Clayton and this area and the world for Christ. We meet together to learn. We meet together to worship. We meet together that we know we have people like faith. That we go back into the world. Wherever we go to, there's somebody who met with me this morning is facing the same thing I have to face. And thank God, I know that they're my brother and sister in Jesus Christ. We meet together to encourage each other. And the worship of Almighty God that we feel His presence. Brother Ken, this morning, when we sing about seeing His face, oh, that ought to make a shout for the glory of God. Walk with Him on the other side. Know there's a street of gold that we're going to not dig up to spin, but to walk on like asphalt when we get to heaven. The things that's precious in this world has no value there whatsoever. But souls do. People do. People do. I've dedicated myself in what power God has given me over this temple, this epistle, to be as faithful as I can be to the cause of Christ. Yesterday I was going through some of my works back in the early 70s, and I found some drawings. I told you about the big diagram I had of a circle of the church and all that I felt that looking at Acts that God wanted us to do. And I was looking at, I had driven it. Drew a picture. I can't draw myself, but it looked like a man. At least I thought it did. And I had the church, and I had things in the mind. What it is that God will want me to do. How does the ministry just come together on Sunday morning worship and go home? That'd be good if you didn't have that at all. And the things that went in, I thought about how we, the Sunday school, what it's important for. The caddy, what it's important for. The bus ministry when we started, what it's important for. The academy when we started, what it's important for. Even the ball team when we started, what it was important for. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. This ball team wasn't started for pleasure. This ball team was started set up years ago to bring people under sound of the gospel because they had to be in church to hear the gospel before they could play. And we said you didn't have to be a member of the church. You don't have to be a member of Sunday school, but you got to attend the Sunday school. You have to attend it. We used to have some on Sunday night. Maybe somebody don't know, but what happens is this. There's a committee made years ago and said, let's do it on Sunday morning. We have two times to get the gospel to them. And by the way, there's been people who've been saved because they came here and had to be in the services to play ball. Had to play ball. The bus ministry. I mean, it was started to get people saved. You see, everything we try to do is get people under the sound of the gospel. Even packages we pass out. We don't have a chance to witness. We try to get people under the sound of the gospel. To lead as many as God will let us lead to Jesus Christ. Now, when I talk about those things, we do have pleasure. Sometimes the youth has pleasure to have things. But we also have a means to try to get the gospel to anybody and then help others to grow in grace and knowledge if they want to grow and listen to what God has to say. To lead as many to God as the Lord will let us. To name, to lead to the name above every name. To lead to bow that the knee will bow before it's too late. To lead where every tongue will confess that He is Christ to the glory of God. Where, when you do that, some folks won't like you. If your whole concept about doing for God is to see souls saved, there are some folks that will not like you. That's okay. Because I know that all I care is that He likes what I'm doing. And He is Jesus Christ. Jesus loves souls. See, truth is not always popular. But hear this. Well, you'll be glad you came this morning. Truth is not always popular, but it's always right. You don't ever have to change truth to make it any better. Because it's always right. So there, the temple of God. We are to be epistles, letters instructed for others to see in flesh. We're to be proclaimers of the gospel. We are the temple of Almighty God. Holy Spirit dwells in us. Now, there are four things we should know about God that lives in us. Very simple. We'll close. As we become epistles, proclaimers, because we are the temple of God. There are some things that we need to know about God. Four things, really. First of all, God is an awesome God. He's an awesome God. If you don't believe it, Just take some time and look at creation. Read everything you can on creation. I got some books back when we was up in Ohio last year. I'm still reading them. But we came back by the Creation Science Institute or museum there. Still reading them about creation. Look in the mirror at yourself. Then get the encyclopedia down and study the body and see what goes on. Look at space. Look in the microscope. God is an awesome God. Amazing thing about it is, though, sin entered in and separated us from God. Sin is very destructive. Sin will destroy you and I. And God, who's an awesome God, hates sin. But I'm glad to say that in the programming of God, He gives forgiveness to be available. He can do that because the debt's been paid. Jesus Christ paid the sin debt. So this awesome God who made everything, I don't care what the world says, I mean, you're talking about us being foolish and not educated. A man who believes in evolution is a fool. I mean, it just goes beyond even what one could think about believing in something like evolution. It's much more simpler and plainer to see that there's a mind behind something because everything we see a mind behind somehow or another. So sin is destruction, separation from God. But forgiveness is available. The debt has been paid. How? For by grace are you saved through faith, not on yourself. It is the amazing grace of God. Here's the thing about this awesome God who allowed sin to separate us. He didn't cause it. He allowed it. And therefore, sin is destroying us. And now we can have forgiveness because of Jesus Christ paying the sin debt. Because of God's amazing grace, you can be saved. When you know these four things from here, ladies and gentlemen, we are the temples of God. From here, we are the epistle of God. From here, we are to proclaim the gospel of Christ. Why? Because in these four things, God is an awesome God. They're searching for God. They're looking at things they think are God, but they're not following the true God. We have Him. Sin is destructive. They're destroyed. They're headed to hell. And forgiveness is available. Debt's been paid. And God's grace is extended that we could have Jesus Christ as Savior. And our bodies become the temple of God. Our lives become the epistle of God. And we're to proclaim the gospel of God. And when we do that, you mark it down. You mark it down. We will be successful in the eyes of God. Not in this world. Or we'll be lambasted, talked about, criticized, but not with God. He will reward us one day. Preacher, do you really believe in God? Let me tell you something. I not only believe, I know Him. Well, you're certainly proud of yourself. I'm not proud, but I'm exalting Jesus Christ. You read 1 John 5, he tells us we can know Him. You can know Him when you trust Him. You can walk with Him when you trust Him. Do you believe that God exists? Yes, sir. I've got something better than that. I know He does. No, you don't. Yes, I do. No, you say no all you want to. I know in my heart He does. Jesus Christ doesn't come in and get you doubting that He exists. Jesus Christ comes in to make Himself real. And the Holy Spirit moves in to take a bold with us to make us understand how real He really is. I thank God. I understand about this body, the temple of God. Ladies and gentlemen, if you let God register that in your heart this morning, there'll be some things that said about you that you realize if God is pleased, that's the only thing that really matters. And you can take it in this world. You can take it because the Holy Spirit lives in us. I hear so many times, sometime preacher. I was talking to board the other night. I hear so much nowadays. Somebody say, "Well, preacher, you keep preaching that like this. Day. This you're out of tune today. You're out of place because that message may have been good 40 years ago, but it's not good for the day." And I say, "Well, if it's good 40 years ago, why can't it be good now?" Well, the times have changed. Yes, but the truth hasn't. And I say, wait a minute. I don't understand. Yeah, you keep preaching like that, and you won't have nobody after a while. And I can say, thank God. I couldn't say this had not we come to Clayton years ago. Well, that's more than I had when I came here. What I'm saying is this, folks. People love truth, I believe. And these last days, they're less and less being taught of that. And I believe God's going to give us those people who love Him that He wants us to have to work through fellowship. We are the temple of God. If you're saved this morning, what a privilege it is for you to know and I to know that we are the temples of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. The living God dwells in us. And Paul said, be epistles. Be instructed letters that others can see when you walk by. If they watch you long enough, they're going to say there's something different about that person. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every Christian in America today, if someone would see them and watch them long enough, they'd say like they did in Antioch in the book of Acts, there goes a Christian. Why? They would be what I think would be Christ-like. You are the temple of God. My Father, help someone to see that today. Dear Lord, I thank You for the Word of God. And what You teach us is not to hurt us, is to help us. My Father, please get us to look at You and look at ourselves through Your eyes, which is the Word of God. Help us, dear God, to see why we're here. Everything in this life is not the end. It's a means to an end. Wherever You place us in this life, Lord, is to get us to do what we can do best with our talents at that moment for the glory of God. Help us focus on it. What is Your will more so than where I'm at? Help us understand, dear Father, what it means to be an epistle for Christ. Help us understand what it means to be the temple of God. We come here this morning, the presence of God been felt. Lord, thank You for that. But dear Lord, isn't it an amazing thing? If we hadn't been in this building today, collected together, we never felt You like we felt during the singing. Thank You for coming in on the scene. Not only to live in our heart, but You manifest Yourself in our midst. We feel the presence of God. Thank You for that, Lord God. If there's one here this morning who does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, dear Father, I pray that somehow or another they see how much You love them. And that people have sacrificed for these buildings to be built, but they can't save you. But God's people who come in as the temples of God and worship You say to this world, we believe in the true and living God, and Jesus Christ is our way through Him. We exalt Him. We go back into the world asking You to help us be those epistles that all we can be to cumulative together, collectively, to lead this work, this building, and represent You in individual letters in our lives, written in flesh, not in ink, and give the gospel out. Help some boy or girl in the church, other churches, to know Christ as Savior today. Dear Father, please have Your way. God, put a protection around this church. Never let it lose its focus that we had when we came. In those early years when many met together and wept and prayed about things. They've gone on to be with the Lord now. And we're picking up the slack here at this time. There'll be many of us who'll be on later. Oh, what a joy to be when we get to heaven and we really see just what You did do. We only see in part now. The souls You did save because of the ministry of this church. Dear Father, for the things that You open up for us through the years, and the buses and the youth, and the academy and the radio and the college, please give us wisdom to handle those things. May we not ever lose focus of Your heart. You came to seek and to save that which is lost. And this building is a tool in God's hands to collect and bring us together and send us back into that world to be epistles, to be the temple of God, and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Your precious name we pray. Amen.